hear that song, It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year, what do you normally think of? Well, most people would say Christmas, but not for me. It's Easter. I love Resurrection Sunday.
Amen.
It is the greatest date on the Christian calendar. It represents so much. And at Life Fellowship Church in Cornelius, North Carolina, we are preparing for the Easter, the resurrection season. And we are going to talk about that today on Life Talks. My name is Dan, and I'm with Ben. We are the teaching pastors at Life Fellowship. One of Ben's responsibilities, and he is the visionary teaching pastor. He's the guy that kind of sets the agenda and is up front and makes a lot of the bigger plans for our ministry. And he came to our leadership team recently and said he really believes that the Lord have us focus on the cross this season of the resurrection. And so we are kicking off a emphasis at our church called Dimensions of the Cross. It's a 40-day journey that culminates on Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday. And so that's what we're going to talk about today on Life Talks. Ben, I'm so excited about this coming series. You've put a lot of prayer and time and walk and energy in this. So tell us a little bit about what to expect as we look at Dimensions of the Cross.
Well, first of all, we're not calling it Lent.
He went there already. He knows I have an issue with the term Lent, which would make a fascinating pro-con.
We'll do a pro-con somewhere. Lent thing, okay? But here's
and then he announces he's becoming Catholic.
Yeah, stop it. It's not just Catholics that do Lent. Last year, you know, you and I both grew up Independent Baptist, so the whole idea—that's
almost worse than growing up Catholic. Now you let our secret out. Oh my goodness!
Oh, we've been open about that.
Oh, but we have new listeners.
But we doing Lent as an Independent Baptist was just anathema. Like yes. you would have never done anything like this. But last year was the first year I decided to practice 40 days of Lent, and again, it was just something I wanted to try because people. I think one of the things I've learned, and I want to go back and give a little history of Lent so that people understand it. It's not when people think of Lent, they think of Catholicism, think of Ash Wednesday, all that kind of stuff. And I think that something we have to remember is there are things that run deeper and longer than the Roman Catholic Church. But lest I digress.
Too late.
Yeah. So anyways, I practiced Lent last year, and I gave up all apps and the internet on my phone. Now, that was my...
That explains the crankiness about this time last year. Very interesting.
So anyways, I just said, you know, my phone is becoming a major distraction to me, and I want to do something that really helps me not, you know, when I'm in my car, when I'm with people, when I'm with my family, I don't want this device to be as intrusive into my life as it has been. And so... that's what I did. It was basically I had phone and I had email on it. That was basically it. So I came out of that with a really positive experience of giving up something for a season and understand we've talked about fasting before and the impact of fasting and there are different kinds of fasts you can do, but it was something for me that awakened me to, I took something away and replaced it with something that was beneficial and good. By, you know, spending more time in prayer, spending more time focusing on the Word, spending more time in reading, and so when it came about this time of year, I thought, you know, I'd like for us as a church to do something for 40 days that we are focused on together, and you know, almost like a spiritual growth initiative. We. For so long, I think for many of us, what COVID, through the season of COVID, has turned us inward. We've talked about this a lot. But I think what we need to do is we need these opportunities to kickstart, to jumpstart, to revitalize our walk with Jesus. And I don't know about you, Dan, but many times it's like Easter comes and, you know, it's rushed into and it's gone. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that my hope and my prayer is that we spend 40 days leading up to Easter in a season by which we are focusing on the cross of Jesus Christ. And the reason why we're choosing 40 days, and it will mirror the Lenten calendar, but let me just say this. I did some history and some research on the origins of Lent. And one of the things, this is the first mention of it that we can we can find being practiced goes all the way back to the Council of Nicaea, which is around 325 AD, and which is way before even what we would consider the Roman Catholic Church being in existence. There was just one church in, back then. But how that even how that was even started was normally in the ancient church that Easter was a big day by which people would get baptized. And so one of the traditions of the very early church was they asked people to fast before baptism. And normally it began as a 3-day fast, but you know, as time wore on, they wanted to mirror the 40 days that Jesus spent in the wilderness. And so before you were baptized, it was eventually it became certain pockets of church history or Christianity, Alexandria, which is one of these hotbeds, Antioch, you know, you had Jerusalem and you had Rome. These are kind of like the main areas, Constantinople later, Ephesus. But in the very early centuries of the church, these were the headquarters of a lot of the learning and writing and leadership of the early church. And eventually it just became a practice by which Christians would just reinvigorate, recommit to their walk with Jesus and spend 40 days leading up to the celebration of the resurrection. And so, this is a practice that goes back to the very earliest days of Christianity. And so, unfortunately, when the Reformation happens and all the breaking away from Roman Catholicism, there are so many things that were traditions that I think were, sometimes traditions can be good. Traditions aren't necessarily good or bad. They're just traditions. But sometimes I think because this group does it or this group has done it for centuries, therefore we can't do it. And with all of the differences and disagreements we have with the Roman Catholic Church and their theology, sometimes we allow ourselves to take ourselves out of enjoying some of the rich Christian traditions that you know precede even what we know as the Roman Catholic Church being. So I know that it takes me a long time to saying this is why we're doing it. I went through this journey myself. It's something I learned and studied on my own, and it's something I wanted our church to go through. And to me, one of the most important things we can do as followers of Jesus is understand all that the cross accomplished for us. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we are really focusing on the cross for the, you know, we have got 8 Sundays leading up to Easter and really 7 Sundays leading up to the 8th Sunday and Easter. And then there's 40 days that we're going to be doing a number of different things, asking people to engage in their spiritual journey with Jesus. All
right. So, I kind of want to get to some of those exercises that we're going to be doing. You've given me the opportunity to kick it off with a call to love the cross. Mm-hmm. And the way that I'm kind of approaching this, you know, this introductory sermon to the experience, to the series, to the focus, is the idea of really looking at the cross with fresh eyes. Mm. You know, a lot of times, you know, I've been married 38 years, and sometimes I'll catch myself looking at my wife. She looks different than she did when she was 26, mm-hmm. when we first were married. But in many ways, there are nuances. There's a beauty. There are reflections that I see that nobody else sees because of our relationship. Mm. That's more than just the picture of her on our wedding day, which was beautiful.
Right.
So sometimes we've made the cross into this one-dimensional relic that reminds us technically, but it's lost its richness. It's lost its emotion. And I think that's part of what we're calling everyone to do in this journey. That's why you called it dimensions.
Yeah.
Whether you're looking at your wife and being reminded of, you know, of your children or of your experiences or your good times or your bad times or your moves or where you lived or what you were doing, there's all these dimensions to a marriage relationship.
Right.
When you look at the cross, there are a lot of dimensions. So what are some of those that we're going to be covering during this
there's,
time?
There's so many. One of the things I think we have to understand is there are so many things that were accomplished for us on the cross. That's why the series is called It Is Finished. That the complete work of Jesus, I think there are some general things that we know of, you know, that he forgave us our sins, right? That's important. But the idea of his atonement being a substitute for us, We're going to look at the substitution of Jesus. We're going to also look at the foolishness of the cross, the reality of what we are claiming took place and what the world really thinks about it. We're going to be challenged with, do we hold this cross as precious? We're going to look at this idea of purification. You know, when you think of purification, that sounds something very Eastern in a way. But so much of the Bible, even the book of Hebrews, talks about the purification of the cross. We're going to talk about the suffering of the cross. That the idea that Jesus identifies with our suffering through his suffering. We're going to look at the idea of reconciliation, how God uses the cross to tear down dividing walls of hostility in Ephesians that talks about this. We're going to talk about the victory of the cross, how on the cross Jesus conquered not just over the curse of sin, but over the principalities and powers of the rulers of this world. And so there are so many things that Jesus did for us on the cross. And that's one of the things I want us to do. It is my hope that we will have people commit for the 8 weeks that we're going to be really digging into the cross, for the 8 weeks that we're going to be leads up to Easter, that my hope is that people will commit to those 8 weeks. I know people travel. It's going to be spring break is in the middle there, but whether you will commit to being present on our campus and to our building on a Sunday morning, or whether you commit to watching the service on a Sunday morning, my initial challenge to everyone in our church is, will you make the commitment from February 27th to April 17th to commit to 8 straight weeks that you will purposefully engage with our teaching on the cross? Because I believe, that's just the first step. It's entry level. But I think if you do that, you will have a greater love. You will have a greater sense of appreciation for all that Jesus has accomplished for you through his death.
So as part of this journey that we're taking, these 40 days, obviously probably the pillars of it are the 8 weeks of messages, culminating on Easter Sunday.
Yeah.
But you've also planned other ways in which we will engage with the theme, exercises and events. Can you tell us about some of those?
So there's three other, phases to this, and people can commit to these as much as they can. But the second really dimension of it would be, we have a 40-day devotional that we've developed, and they will be ready for, we're printing out hard copies of these devotionals that people can pick up on February 27th, that Sunday. And it is our hope that you will take that. It will be a tool, a resource. It will give you 40 days of reading scripture and reading devotionals that our devotional team has put together, as well as a number of our pastors. We've written 40 devotionals that lead up to the day of Easter. And so what we're hoping is that you will spend 40 straight days reading passages of scripture and what people have written about that scripture, and writing reflections on that scripture leading up to to Easter Sunday.
And that will be in the form of a booklet you can pick up, but will it also be available online?
We'll also be releasing it through our app and our Facebook page.
All right. So because a lot of people who listen to Life Talks, some of them even live in other countries, may want to follow along
with
us, so they can just download the Life Fellowship app or go to our website, and they'll be available there as well.
So the devotional, again, that is for that daily engagement with God's word, focusing on the cross. I think that's important. Number three, Brad Milks and his wife, Kristen Milks. Brad's our discipleship pastor. Kristen leads the women's ministries here. They're going to be leading a conversation, and I believe it starts the Tuesday, March 8th, I believe is the date. But they are going to be leading a weekly study beginning March 8th on the final week of Jesus. Hmm. And so, every day of that week leading up to his crucifixion, will be a week of study. What happened during that day? And so a really deep, rich Bible study of the experience of Jesus on the final week and leading up to the cross. So that's another thing that we're going to be doing. And I believe it's 6 weeks. That's a 6 week study that we'll be doing. So that's the third component that we're inviting people. Join a group, dialogue with other people, really dig down deep into that final week of Jesus, that all that he taught, all that he said, all that he experienced I believe will create that Easter Sunday morning as even an even more worshipful time for you. The fourth component is really something that we know not everyone can do this, but the what most Christians call Holy Week, which is the week leading up to Easter, we're going to have a number of different opportunities for people to engage in worship. And so we have three of them. The first one is we're going to have Stations of the Cross, and people that want to come and walk through will have a very interactive experience for people to see, to hear, to touch, things that relate to the experience of Jesus on the cross. And we'll have people that will walk through, that will begin in our lobby, will walk through our building, and it will end outside. But we're hoping that people will do that with their family, do that with maybe their life community, do that with some friends. Maybe there's some people that want to invite other people to go through this and experience it. We'll have counselors there that people want to know more about the cross. If there's people to hear from the community that don't have a relationship with Jesus. But the whole idea is for you to, in a very visual way, tactile way, process Jesus's experience on the cross. So that will be one of the days of Holy Week. Then we're going to have a Good Friday service. We had this last year as a church, and we had it at noon. I know it's a different time. We're not going to have it at night, but it's going to be at noontime. And we'll have that at our church building on that Friday. And just a somber, quiet reflection on the death of Jesus. And that's going to be Friday. And then Saturday night, we're going to be having a Seder meal. Now, if you know what a Seder meal is essentially it's a Passover meal being led by someone with Jewish roots that is able to explain the fulfillment of every part of the Passover meal and how Jesus fulfilled that. And so that's going to be, unfortunately, we're only opening up to 100 people. It will have a meal provided. It will be on a Saturday night at 5 p.m. the day before Easter. We hope that we'll have up to 100 people participate in that.
That will be a ticketed event.
That will be a ticketed event. It will cost some money to pay for the food, obviously. But we're the whole idea is we want, when you walk into church on that Sunday Easter morning, the thing that you are going to be thinking and feeling and experiencing is not, the thing that's not going to be in your mind is, where are we going to lunch or brunch, and does everyone's outfits look okay? We want Easter to be the culmination of a journey that you have walked through, that you have thought deeply about what Jesus has really accomplished and done and fulfilled for us on the cross. And I believe if we have, you know, a number of our people that commit to these components, to making the Sunday commitment, to reading for 40 days, to being a part of a group to dialogue and discuss the cross of Christ, to experiencing that week leading up to it. I believe that Easter morning that we worship and celebrate will be one of the most powerful times of worship that you will ever have in your life. Because many times we walk into a Sunday morning worship service with very little investment, spiritually speaking, of what's going on. And what we're challenging people to do is to go on this 40-day journey, and it's building up to something. That Easter is not just, it's here and it's gone. It's something that has been working in our hearts for so long, so that when we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, it means more than has meant to us in a long time.
Cool.
So
one of the things I love about our church is that we have a commitment to just exploring things from a biblical perspective. Mm-hmm. We don't get tied up in a lot of events. Mm-hmm. We don't get tied up into a lot of experiences, so to speak. But in this, we are having events and experiences that are driven by Scripture with a very intentional purpose of drawing us closer to Christ and the cross and the power of the resurrection.
That's right.
So, so you've kind of heard it laid out by Pastor Ben this morning. And so let's encourage each other. Let's invite guests. So we invite you who listen, who may live in the Lake Norman area, if you don't have a church home, to participate with this, because this isn't about building a church. This is about glorifying God mm-hmm. and being part of what he is doing in his own kingdom. So attending the services, the 8 services that surround this, beginning on February 27th, all the way through Easter Sunday, we have services that meet at 9:15 and 11 a.m. And we also have a Spanish service as well. Mm-hmm. But at 9:15 and 11 a.m., and we have child ministry provided as well during that time. And then you also have the devotions. So if you don't live in the area, go to our website, download our app, and you'll be able to get those devotions. But if you are at Life Fellowship, pick up a copy of those devotions and be part of that. And then look forward to that Holy Week, or be also enroll in the class that's being taught by the Milks. And that'll be taught on campus?
It will be here on campus,
It'll be here on campus. So you'll want to sign up for that, and you can do that through our app mm-hmm. and through the website as well. And then finally, think of Holy Week and all that that entails. Think of whether you can participate in all or at least some of these events, being part of our Good Friday service, mm-hmm. being part of the Stations of the Cross, being part of the Seder meal, and then join us for Easter Sunday celebration. You know, we've wrecked so many of the spiritually oriented holidays, particularly Christmas. It's just vulgar and commercialized now. Easter is that one time, that Resurrection Sunday is that one time when the focus still remains primarily on the cross.
Yes.
And I know we have a few bunnies and so forth hopping around, but for the most part, it's still focused on the power of the resurrection. It's not about renewal. It's not about spring, and it's not about baskets and bonnets. It is about the risen Savior. So join us for that. If you don't live in our area, and find a church that loves and teaches and preaches the Word of God, be a part of their services. If you're in our area and you don't have a church home, we welcome you at Life Fellowship, 20010 Chartown Drive in Cornelius. Look us up on our website at lifecharlotte.com. Pastor Ben, I'm excited about this, whether you call it Lent or a journey. I'm excited, and I'll be participating just alongside of everybody else and looking forward to what God does in and through all of us during this important season. As always, thanks for listening to Life Talks. We'll catch you next time.
You've been listening to Life Talks. Be sure to hit the subscribe button so you never miss a new episode. Share this podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to let your friends and family know about Life Talks. We'd love to hear from you as well, so leave a comment and let us know your thoughts on this episode or any other topics we've discussed. Life Talks is a ministry of Life Fellowship in Cornelius, North Carolina. For more information on Life Talks or Life Fellowship, visit lifecharlotte.com, or you can find us on Facebook at Life Fellowship Charlotte.